broadcasting around the entire world. From Austin, Texas, via Simplecast, and supported by listeners like you. Bitcoin, billions, stellar, trading, mining, markets, FUD, sharing, forks, millions, fights, wise. Keeping you up to date on everything crypto. Welcome to Thriller News. Now here is your host, Carr Gonzalez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Thriller News. Today is February 4th, 2019. I'm Carr Gonzalez. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I'm a little bit under the weather today, so if I don't sound as spunky as I usually do, I apologize. Let's jump into the crypto top stories.
Crypto top stories.
All right, so today's biggest news is Quadrigo CX owes customers $190 million. That's right. So $190 million, and most people are unable to access those funds, according to a court filing. Now, in a sworn affidavit filed January 31st with the Nova Scotia Supreme Court, Jennifer Robertson, identified as the widow of Quadrigo CX founder Gerald Cotton, said the exchange owes its customers roughly $250 million, that's right, in both cryptocurrency and fiat. That's $190 million USD. The company previously announced it had filed for creditor protection on its website, but the filing itself provides greater details about its predicament. As of January 31st, 2019, there were roughly 115,000 users with balances signed up on the exchange, with 70 million Canadian in fiat and 180 million Canadian in crypto owed overall. The exchange holds roughly 26,500 Bitcoin and 11,000 Bitcoin Cash. It was not clear what portion of the exchange's crypto holding were kept in cold storage versus its hot wallet. The affidavit that Robertson explained said only a minimal amount of coins were stored in the hot wallet, but specifics were not provided. So users have been complaining about withdrawal issues and a lack of communication from Quadrigo CX's team for months, with concerns exacerbated earlier this week when the website went down entirely for maintenance. Robertson noted that the exchange's new directors voted to temporarily pause the platform on January 26, though she did not explicitly say the website went down as a result. The portal only became inaccessible sometime in the morning on January 28. Now, she has added, and she believes the trading platform may have significant value, but this value may be reduced if the exchange is sued. Quadrigo is hoping the court will schedule a hearing on February 4th to confirm this day of proceedings, as well as appoint Ernst & Young to act as an independent third party to oversee its operations for the immediate future. And then there's also rumors swirling on Reddit as well, too, saying this was all planned. There's not quite enough information yet to release that, so I won't go ahead and do that right now. But if you're interested on this crazy story, which likely will be turned into a movie, check out Reddit and search for Quadrigo CX, the whole mystery around it. It's nuts. And our last big crypto top story is Wyoming Senate passes bill recognizing Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies as money. That's right. The Senate of the United States of Wyoming has passed a bill that recognizes cryptocurrency as money and affords it the same status as other legal tenders. With the passage of the bill, Wyoming has reinforced its position as the foremost proponent of the cryptocurrency market and its associated blockchain technology in the United States. The bill was introduced on January 18th in the Senate and was passed by a vote of 28-1. Not only is that notable for accepting cryptocurrency on the same lines as fiat, but it also provides a rare legal clarity to the filed by classifying crypto assets into three, namely, distinct collections: digital consumer assets, digital securities, and virtual currencies. The bill also recognizes digital assets as legal property and authorizes banks to supervise and hold them in custody in trust funds. pretty cool. The Wyoming legislator has suggested that the bill is likely to go into effect on March 1st, even though the bill is presently on its way to the House for debate. Yeah, and that's big, big news. Big news of the weekend. Let's get into crypto rapid fire.
Crypto rapid fire, just in case you missed it.
All right, so we got some big, big news here in crypto rapid fire. So let's jump into it. CBOE resubmits the VanEck SolidX Bitcoin ETF proposal for SEC approval. That's right, the race is back on to launch the first U.S. Bitcoin exchange traded fund after CBOE resubmitted its joint proposal with VanEck and SolidX. Announced on Thursday, VanEck Digital Asset Strategy, led by Gaber Gubach, the January 30th filing would, if approved by the Securities and Exchange Commission, allow the CBOE BZX exchange to list shares of a Bitcoin ETF trust. Many proponents of a Bitcoin ETF believe that the fund will help bring fresh money into the space and create a more liquid market. The proposal, as we know, was withdrawn from consideration earlier in the month due to the U.S. government shutdown, but less than a week, it got resubmitted. So as of right now, the rule change proposal has not yet been published in the Federal Register, meaning the clock has not yet begun for the SEC to make a decision. Once the proposal is published, the SEC will have a maximum of 240 days to decide whether to approve or reject the proposal. Our next piece of news is Satoshi Pay integrates blockchain payments for a major European publisher. That's right, micropayments startup Satoshi Pay has partnered with Europe's largest digital publishing house, Axel Springer, to process blockchain payments from its content globally. The UK-based startup announced Thursday that consumers of the Berlin-headquartered firm's content can pay using Satoshi Pay's wallet, which is built based on Stellar blockchain technology. Axel Springer owns titles including Business Insider, Die Welt, and Rolling Stone. Satoshi Pay said that as of January 31st, its wallet will be integrated into Axel Springer's online products and will work without any intermediaries, so payments will be directly credited to the publisher's account. Next up, we have Iran launches its gold-backed stablecoin amidst U.S. sanctions. Iran is determined to find a way to prosper amid the unilateral sanctions imposed by the U.S. government, and the political team of Hassan Rouhani, president of the Persian country, is relying on the use of blockchain technology as a way to counter U.S. influence in the world of international finance. On January 30th, they announced a gold-backed cryptocurrency called Paymon. It's designed and developed by Kukonos, an Iranian company focused on tokenization of different types of assets. All right, and our final story, Ethereum developers delay mining algorithm change for code audit. A tentative decision was reached on Friday in a public call to postpone the so-called ProgPow upgrade in favor of conducting continued audits. A number of the call's participants expressed discomfort with providing a firm decision on whether to execute the algorithm, leading to the delay. Yeah, and that's everything for Crypto Rapid Fire. Let's go ahead and jump into Crypto YouTube.
Crypto YouTube, the world of Crypto YouTube, the world of Crypto YouTube, the world of Crypto YouTube.
All right, so this particular YouTube video is making the rounds all over crypto YouTube. People are talking about it. It's big. It really is. Jack Dorsey, CEO of Square, CEO of Twitter, has gone on Joe Rogan, the best podcast in the entire world. It really is. And he discusses why Bitcoin will be the currency for the internet. Check it out.
How do we understand someone's struggle? Like, how do we understand, like, how do we have the empathy for, like, what they're struggling with? And, like, when it comes to finance, they're struggling with a lot.
Yeah.
Typically, they're struggling with a ton.
What was the thought process with, I mean, one of the things that's kind of cool about the Cash App is that you can buy and sell Bitcoin with it.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to consider other forms of cryptocurrency as well?
Not right now. So, back to the internet. I believe the internet will have a native currency.
Really?
It'll have a native currency. And I don't know if it's Bitcoin. I think it will, because just given all the tests it's been through and the principles behind it, how it was created, and, you know, it was something that was born on the internet, that was developed on the internet, that was tested on the internet. It is of the internet. And the reason we enabled the purchasing of Bitcoin within the Cash App is, One, we want to learn about the technology and we want to put ourselves out there and take some risk. We're the first publicly traded company to actually offer it as a service. We're the first publicly traded company to talk to the SEC about Bitcoin and what that means. And it made us uncomfortable. We had to really understand what was going on, and that was critical and important. And then the second thing is that we would love to see something become a global currency. It enables more access. It allows us to serve more people. It allows us to move much faster around the world. And we thought we were going to start with how you can use it transactionally, but we noticed that people were treating it more like an asset, like a virtual gold. And we wanted just to make that easy, just the simplest way to buy and sell Bitcoin. But we also knew that it had to come with a lot of education. It had to come with constraint because, 2 years ago, people did some really unhealthy things about, purchasing Bitcoin. They maxed out their credit cards and put all their life savings into Bitcoin. So we developed some very simple restrictions and constraints, like you can't buy Bitcoin on the Cash App with a credit card. It has to be the money you actually have in it. And we look for day trading, which we discourage and shut down. Like that's not what we were trying to build. That's not what we were trying to optimize for. We made a children's book explaining what Bitcoin is and where it came from and how people use it and where it might be going. So we really tried to take on the role of education and to have some very simple, healthy constraints that allowed people to consider what their actions are in the space.
Now, when you have something like the Cash App, which is it's very much a disruptive technology in terms of decentralization of banks and currency, and mm-hmm. To have it where everything is going right, you're direct depositing a paycheck right in the app if you so choose, and then you could also buy Bitcoin, which is another disruptive technology. I mean, that this is another step towards this sort of new way of doing things.
Yeah.
And is there pushback from any companies, or is there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just look at some of the major banks and their consideration around Bitcoin. They all love blockchain because of the efficiencies it can create for their business and potentially new business lines. But, I think there is a...
Explain blockchain for people who don't know what we're talking about.
Blockchain is a distributed ledger. And what that means is that it's basically a distributed database where, the source of truth can be verified at any point around the network. And you can see, this annotation around how content or how around money traveled.
So you don't have to go to an institution to get the records.
There's no centralized check. There's no centralized control over it. And I think that is threatening. It's certainly threatening to certain services behind banks and financial institutions. It's threatening to some governments as well. So I just look at this and how do we embrace this technology, not react to it in more from a threat standpoint, but what does it enable us to do and where does our value shift? And that's what we should be talking about right now is how our value shifts. And there's always really strong answers to that question. But if you're not willing to ask the question in the first place, you will become irrelevant because technology will just continue to march on and make you irrelevant. Mm. And it's the people that are growing up with this technology or born with the technology, only knowing that technology, or are asking the tough questions of themselves that are going to be super disruptive to their business. And they're thinking about it right now, and they're taking actions. And we're doing that at Square, and we're doing that at Twitter. And that to me represents longevity. That represents our ability to thrive. And we got to push ourselves. We got to make ourselves uncomfortable, and we got to disrupt what we held sacred and what we think is success today. Because otherwise, it's not going to be bigger than what we have today.
Yeah, he's exactly right. Jack Dorsey, I've been following him for a long time through the 2000s. I remember watching his career as a kid and thinking that this guy just really sees technology for what it is and what it could be potentially. It's no surprise that he's early on Bitcoin. Kind of sad to hear him say that he's not looking at other currencies right now, but you know, it makes sense due to them being a publicly traded company and having loads of regulations still to go. So yeah, that is cool. But I will say this is good news for the crypto space, because Joe Rogan's the biggest podcast in the world, and he just let everybody know Square has Bitcoin. Pretty awesome. Let's jump into crypto Twitter.
Crypto Twitter.
Crypto Twitter.
Crypto Twitter.
All right, so this is a story that developed from Twitter, and it's making all of the crypto news sites. So we remember last year when Charlie Lee went on Twitter and said that he has sold and donated all of his own Litecoin to avoid any conflicts of interest. Many were worried, of course, that this marked an attempt by the developer to distance himself from the project. So on January 28, 2019, he said on Twitter, "Fungibility is the only property of sound money that is missing from Bitcoin and Litecoin. Now that the scaling debate is behind us, the next battleground will be on fungibility and privacy. I'm now focused on making Litecoin more fungible by adding confidential transactions." He said that the Litecoin dev team spent hours discussing how to add confidential transactions. He went on to say the way to do a soft fork for confidential transactions is very similar to doing extension blocks. An extension block may be simpler and can do a lot more. We are now also exploring doing bulletproof Mimblewimble with extension blocks. He went on to defend some different things because people started lashing out. One of them said timeline. He said should be sometime in 2019. Kyle Samini said, "Will this require a hard fork?" He reiterated, "No confidential transactions can be soft forked." And of course, we had Ricardo Spagni, Fluffy Pony of the Monero project. He said, "Just to be clear, since then it's been pointed out to me by Adam Back that we can get unconditional soundness in confidential transactions with Ella Gamma commitments, i.e. auditable, no inflation risk, but then transactions will be significantly larger than with bulletproofs." According to Charlie, he said, "We are exploring. Nothing has been decided yet. It's a trade-off we need to take seriously, block size versus unconditional soundness." He went on to say, "Optional initially, I think mandatory is much stronger privacy and fungibility, but it's harder to reach consensus on doing should be this year." There is a lot of people asking about Mimblewimble, and of course Charlie chimed in and said, "It's too hard to do Mimblewimble. It changes the blockchain too much and has to be a hard fork." I do like the approach that they're taking right now, Litecoin. It almost feels like a different project from last year, in all honesty. But yeah, with that, let's go ahead and jump into Coin 360.
Crypto 360 weather report.
Right, we have a coin market cap at 114 billion. That's right, billions. And it really hasn't fluctuated too much from last week. It's been around 115, 112, 114. So it's pretty much been kind of sideways the whole week. We have Bitcoin at 34.65, pretty much a savings account at this point for people. XRP at 30 cents. Ethereum at 108, went up from 102 earlier on Friday. We got EOS at $2.40, going up 1% today. We got Bitcoin Cash, of course, at $119, and Litecoin cranking out the jams, an extra $3 this weekend at $34. If we look at our 24-hour change, the biggest move maker today is Maker. That's right, 396, up 8% today. We got Tron at 3 cents, up 4%. We got Odom at 22 cents, up 4%. And IOST at 0.6 of a cent, up 5%. Our biggest losers of the day are Augur at $13.93, Dent at 0.09 of a tenth. We got Ravencoin at 1 penny, Steam at 28 cents, keeps falling, and NEM, as you know, they are struggling as a community right now, and they're down to 3 cents. Yeah, they've had to pull back the project considerably. It's kind of sad. This crypto winter has taken a lot of people. With that, let's get on to the end of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been another Thriller News. Thank you so much for sticking it through with me on this episode. Sorry for the lack of bravado or just playfulness like I usually bring, the positiveness. But I'm heading to the doctor later today, so hopefully get something to remedy my pain. Seriously, I'm hurting right now. But if I have a voice, I will always do Thriller Crypto, Thriller News, Thriller Convo, Thriller everything. So buy Bitcoin, save the world. See you tomorrow.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Far Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Carr said likely won't come true. It is up to you.
Now go, do your own research. Listen to other dudes that start their name with crypto, and not car. And remember, buy Bitcoin and save the world. One Satoshi at a time.